This is News Today with WDW News Today. I'm Tom Corliss of WDWNT.com. Please like this video, subscribe, and hit the notifications bell to make sure you never miss the latest from the Disney theme parks around the world. Here now, the news for March 22nd, 2023. Of course, the soft opening previews of Tron Light Cycle Run are now ongoing at the Magic Kingdom, and they've now extended the operating hours, at least for today. The attraction will be available until 7:30 p.m. this evening, full 90 minutes past the attraction's previous closing time. By the time you're watching this, it may not really help you. But the reason we bring this up was on the first day of the soft opening, they closed at 6 p.m. That was on Monday, the 20th. And now they've moved that already by 90 minutes. We assume eventually this may move till park close, but maybe not. The other reason this is interesting is no one's really been able during the soft opening period now to see the attraction in darkness, to see which is when it's most desired. Most people want to ride it at night. So it's really interesting that they're not offering that to people yet. Of course, during the soft openings, it is available the same way it will be beginning April 4th when it officially opens, which is via boarding group, which you can book at 7 a.m. from outside the park and 1 p.m. only from inside the park. And again, individual Lightning Lane purchases. Traditional standby line not available. Disney has announced that Tron Light Cycle Run will have an attraction photo, an on-ride photo and video, plus a new prop photo coming soon. Guests will be able to preview their onboard photo and video automatically linked to their My Disney Experience account using, you know, the usual methods, whether it be your phone or your Magic Band, whatever the case may be. There will also be a prop available, an identity disc, which will be available starting April 4th when the ride officially opens. Meanwhile, the Magic Shot with a floating identity disc is also available. And while Tron Light Cycle Run soft opened, another piece of the surrounding area soft opened as well this week, and that would be the Energy Bites snack kiosk, the little Tron restaurant just outside the attraction, sort of between the ride and Tomorrowland proper. We sent Alessa, and I think Gabby went as well, and they went and did a review of everything. If you want to read it, it's at WDWNT.com. If you want to watch it, it's actually right here on the YouTube channel. They did a great job. They tried the donuts and the coffee and all the Asian-inspired dishes. We tried everything. See what you should and shouldn't get in our review. Several preliminary musicians have been announced for the Eat to the Beat concert series, a fan favorite of the Epcot International Food and Wine Festival for 2023. According to WW Entertainment's Steve Soares, a few scheduled musicians have already been released to the public. Tiffany will be back July 30th and 31st, Haley Reinhart August 11th and 12th, and Taylor Dane October 20th and 21st. Those are all returning musicians. Obviously, there are many, many more to be announced in the future. We will let you know when they are. This program is brought to you by our official travel agent sponsor, The Vacationeer, the engineers of your next magical vacation. Sit back and let their team of vacation planning experts craft your family's next magical Disney trip. The best part is their services are free. Visit WDWNT.travel for details. Breakfast and lunch will return to the Akershus Royal Banquet Hall in Epcot in May of this year. Dinner returned to the Norway Pavilion restaurant in November. Disney shared some photos of the breakfast options guests will be able to enjoy, including heart-shaped waffles. And breakfast and lunch will be available beginning May 14, 2023. Disney has not yet announced the full menus nor when reservations will open. A portfolio from a former Imagineer was discovered this week. How many times have we said this on this show? Revealing yet unseen details of the proposed, postponed, and likely canceled attraction based on Mary Poppins that was officially announced for Epcot at the D23 Expo 2019. It would have been located in the United Kingdom Pavilion. The portfolio was shared by former Imagineer Damon Pressman, showed off the unseen concept art and layout of the attraction. One piece of art showed guests spinning around indoors in teacups amid an English countryside background, similar to the Royal Dalton Bowl sequence from Mary Poppins Returns. We also saw previously seen art for the exterior Cherry Tree Lane area and the poster first revealed at the D23 Expo. Most critically, we got a look at the layout of the attraction, which would have had an interior queue through the lower level of the Banks family home at number 17 Cherry Tree Lane, featuring a pre-show that would have been somewhat similar to Enchanted Tales with Belle at the Magic Kingdom. And in that pre-show, you'd watch the fireplace come to life before coming into the English countryside from that Royal Dalton Bowl sequence. I assume, like, we see a fireplace there. in the sequence in the film, the bowl spins and eventually the children enter through the bowl. Maybe they wouldn't have been able to do that, but either way. The ride itself featured 6 teacups on 3 smaller spinning platforms, and flats of trees and bushes would anchor the corners of the ride experience. Of course, we here at WDWNT first reported on rumors of a Mary Poppins spinner flat ride way back in August of 2018. That was just under a year before it was officially announced by Disney. By the way, Disney in 2019 never said what the attraction was. Everyone was speculating. People were like, is it a meet and greet? Is it a ride? Is it this? Is it that? They never said. So the only story that it was a flat ride goes back to our post back in 2018, strangely enough. But it turns out that was very much real. The project ended up being one of many victims of the COVID-19 pandemic and the cuts that were made to the Epcot expansion, including the Festival Center, the Play Pavilion, and, of course, this Mary Poppins attraction in the United Kingdom Pavilion. And just days after Walt Disney World reopened from the 4-month closure in July of 2020, Disney had to issue a statement about the postponement of both the Spaceship Earth reimagining and the Mary Poppins ride, as both were removed from the film portion of the Epcot experience, which was a preview center of sorts that existed in the Odyssey. Just last year, though, during the annual shareholder meeting, former Disney CEO Bob Chapek confirmed the ride was still on hold, not canceled, and expressed his disappointment that the project had to be put on hold and vowed that as their cash situation becomes a bit more robust in terms of liquidity, Disney would look forward to restoring funding to those projects. He also noted that the Mary Poppins attraction was one of his favorite projects and no opening date had ever been given for the project, nor, again, details of what the ride was. They just kept showing the exterior of the street and saying Mary Poppins attraction. This was one of the real hallmarks, again, of the Bob Chapek era. And there's a reason this is dead. It's because I don't think anyone in the comments is going to come in and be like, this is a fantastic idea. I mean, obviously, adding capacity to the park is great. And I still think Epcot definitely needs more rides. This, to me, is a bad investment, right? Like, the reason you do flat rides is usually to add quick, cheap capacity. Once you put the flat ride inside, it no longer becomes cheap capacity. And if you're going to go through the process of building a building and having themed surfaces in the background and projection mapping and all of these things, if you're going to go through that trouble, give people something better, right? If you're just looking to put a diversion out in like in the gardens in the UK pavilion, this is fine. Like, this does the trick. I have no problem with that. But once you put it inside and like it's, I don't know, indoor Disney attractions have there's a level of expectation, I think. And I think there's a reason spinner rides have always been outside. I think a big part of that is because people want to be able to see what they're getting in line for. There's no disappointment then, right? There are a couple of Disney spinner rides inside. Now that I'm thinking about it, there is Mermaid Lagoon at Tokyo Disney Sea. But again, it's a land you go into. The whole land is indoors. So once you're in there, you can see the rides before you get in line for them. Again, there's no mystery before you enter the queue of that attraction. And also, like, the short-sightedness, this brings me back to Runaway Railway a bit, in that, like, Mary Poppins and Mickey Mouse are probably the two IPs in the Disney company that have waited the longest to have real representation in a ride-through attraction, right? And they're the two things people are like, why haven't they done that? Why haven't they done that? And then they finally did it for Mickey Mouse. And whether you like the ride or not, you have to agree, it is weird that after so many years, Mickey Mouse finally gets a ride, and it's based on just a couple of cartoon shorts from the last several years, very recent history. And there was a concept different from that before. It was the Great Mickey Ride, which was a trip through Mickey's, you know, film history. Didn't happen. We're not getting into it now. either way, like, And Galaxy's Edge, in a way, too, right? In that it was, oh, we're going to build a land that only focuses on what we're doing right now, which is somewhat short-sighted, right? You haven't given the world time to fall in love with it. Like, yeah, it's great because you can capitalize on the success of that thing right away, but what if it doesn't have staying power, right? Like, then you inevitably put yourself in. And I think Universal does this a lot, where a lot of their franchises are very hot at the moment, and they rush in, and they don't. Like, how much more life? Like, they're building another Minions ride now. How many more years of life does that franchise have, right? It's already proven outside of the Disney company, very few movie franchises have the longevity, the lifespan to stay relevant like Disney has been able, it's one of the things Disney does better than any entertainment company in the world. Big, the biggest part of their success, I dare say, is they make these really amazing films, and then they their company is able to keep them alive through television, streaming services, theme park attractions, you know, all these different things keep these franchises alive so long after they've been released. Like Mary Poppins, like that stayed relevant without a sequel or any other ancillary content for, what, 50 years? More than that? What, that came out in 64, and Mary Poppins Returns was 2018. I mean, yeah, over 50 years, and just, there was nothing there, but it still remained relevant and sold merchandise. He sold VHS, kids look it up, DVDs, Blu-rays. It sold all of that stuff. And so, again, the short side is to be like, we're going to do a ride, and it's we're finally going to do a Mary Poppins ride, but it's based on the sequel that's coming out as we're developing the ride. Is wild. I know some people don't like, and the thing is, I really like Mary Poppins Returns. I know I hate everything. I really love that movie. I think it's a very fitting sequel. I think they did a fine job. I know a lot of people don't like it, though, but that's that short sentence, right? Like, we're doing a new Star Wars series, and we think it's going to be great, and so we're doing a whole billion-dollar land, 14 acres on this franchise, and then it turns out you did a ninth movie that really made people sort of tune out. And so, like, that's been a big part of the failings of Galaxy's Edge are very much wrapped up in its choice to solely place itself in the current franchise, right? And so it's mind-boggling that this was going to be a thing, that it was a flat ride, that it was indoors, that it was based on the new movie. But again, I hope one of the things they look at is that Epcot needs more to do. And I know we've blue-skied Coco and Encanto and Villains for Magic Kingdom and Zootopia and Moana for Animal Kingdom. And then we're not really talking about much for Studios and Epcot right now. And I think both of those need more capacity. And I'll be honest, like, again, if I was someone in charge of anything, I think it'd be clear that, like, yeah, sure, do one new land at Magic Kingdom, you know, just to bolster capacity of that park. But then really try to distribute some of that other stuff to these other parks. I mean, I've already arrived at the point that the theme of the park no longer matters. They're all just going to be Magic Kingdom anyway at this point. So, like, at least give them an equal amount of things to do, right? Epcot and Studios need more attractions. So, you know, if you're going to build Mary Poppins, though, go all in. Like, it's a proven franchise. It's not, if you build a massive e-ticket where we ride the carousel horses and they break off the carousel and you go through that whole sequence, there's no way to fail with that. There's no way that's not going to work. There's no way that's not going to draw people. There's no way that's not going to sell merchandise. There's no way that's not going to put smiles on faces and make people come back over and over again, right? So, I don't know. I think you got to spread the love a bit. Epcot, the Moana walkthrough and CommuniCore Hall cannot be the end of the Epcot expansion. And if they are, the Epcot expansion, just like Studios, didn't add enough. It didn't actually add enough to do. They need to finish it. But let us know in the comments. Maybe you thought this was a great idea. I'm personally sad about the street. The street looks super cool with Admiral Boom with the cannon up on the building and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I love Mary Poppins. Who doesn't? The answer is my mother. My mother hates Mary Poppins. Don't ask. We argue about it all the time. but anyway, I digress. Let me know in the comments how you feel about it, what it should have been, if you would have been okay with this. We'll move on. Power Limes. I don't know how to transition into this. Power Limes have debuted at the Creation Shop in Epcot. These are the snacks that, of course, first debuted at Engineers Souvenirs at Disneyland in Toontown. They're based on a prop you'll find in the queue, the concession stand of the El Capitan Theater. That's the queue of Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway at Disneyland. A single pack of Power Limes is $2.99. It's a sour lime taffy candy named for the animated pop star Power Line in 1995's A Goofy Movie, which of course has gained a lot of notoriety in more recent years. Amazing, this movie. No one talked about this movie when I was a kid. Now everybody, it's all they talk about. But a number of exclusive treats debuted that are based on things in the queue of railway out at Disneyland, but only the Power Limes have come to Disney World thus far. You'll find them in Epcot, and I think they'll probably be in more places soon. They're pretty good. If you like taffy, it's a fun treat. Disney's Typhoon Lagoon Water Park reopened this week, giving guests the chance to be among the first to pick up a colorful new souvenir cup. We found the souvenir cups at the Leaning Palms, the High and Dry, Let's Go Slurpin', Low Tide Lose, and Typhoon Tilly's. The sign shows the cups in orange, blue, pink, and purple, but only blue was available on the first day we visited. A different color will be available each day. A premium or craft beer with a souvenir cup is $14, and same-day refills, which are judged by the cup color, are $8. A domestic beer with a souvenir cup is $12, and a same-day refill is $7. What some people do, I'm not endorsing this, but I also don't think they frown upon it. If you collect all the different color cups, you could bring them all back with you. I know some people that do this, and it's not necessarily frowned upon, but anyway. One side of the cup features the logo for Disney's Typhoon Lagoon with Miss Tilly atop Mount Mayday. The other side features the logo for Disney's Blizzard Beach with its mascot, the Ice Gator. This is amazing. I love this. This, what a great cup. The old cup was kind of boring. It just said Disney Water Parks. This is great. I mean, we talk about the loss of original storytelling at the Walt Disney World theme parks. There are two parks where it's still alive and well, Typhoon Lagoon and Blizzard Beach. And the fact that the two sort of original logos of these are on this, I have to make a special trip just to go to the water park just for this cup. I need it. A new Disney PhotoPass feature called Video Memories will allow guests to create Disney PhotoPass videos. Guests will use their own photos and video along with iconic Disney content to recreate magical experiences from their vacation. According to the Walt Disney World official release, Video Memories will allow guests to revisit the magical experiences from their Disney vacation by creating video memories. Guests who opt to purchase PhotoPass will be able to use their own photos and videos as well as, again, that content in the Disney gallery. And they may combine this media with iconic imagery and video from Disney's resources, and this allows guests to add enhancements, including stickers, music, and text to their photos and video. Templates are included to make the process simpler, and by selecting a template from the provided collection, users can create a quick theme for their new video memory. And next, users will choose between two options, either quick video memory, where they will select photos and video and add enhancements later, or advanced, where guests will create an entire video memory themselves. This is done by selecting in photos and video and then adding those stickers, the music, and text all manually. And once completed, guests are able to view their creation with the My Disney Experience app. And guests who have Memory Maker or annual pass holders are eligible to download and share their video memories. There's no limit to the number of video memories you can make either. For the absolute latest on these stories and more, all that didn't make it into today's show, be sure to check WDWNT.com and follow us on all your favorite social media platforms. You can support the entire team behind this show and others by joining the WDWNT Inner Globe Society at patreon.com/WDWNT. Get access to exclusive content, discounted show and event tickets, and more. Special shout out to all of our WIGS members who make this show happen every week. And also, don't forget, WDW News Tonight this week on the WDWNT TV channel. We are starting our March Madness tournament of the 64 best food items at the Walt Disney World Resort, and we are going to try to decide which one is the absolute best. And you at home, if you watch live, get to be a part of the voting, something we've never done before. So tune in. It'll be live at 9 p.m. Eastern time on Thursday on the WDWNT TV channel. You can watch it on demand on the channel anytime after that. For the worldwide leader in Disney Parks news, this is Tom Corliss saying, enjoy the rest of your today. Have a great, big, beautiful tomorrow.